The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Tan Chung Han, and on The Breakfast Grill today, we have Yeo An Dai, Executive Director of AdvanceCon Holdings. Now, it's a specialist in earthworks and civil engineering, and it's set to be listed this coming Monday, July 10th. Good morning, An Dai, and welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Good morning, Han.
All right, now, before we begin, folks, if you have any questions for Yeo, give us a call at 018-789-8899. Again, that's 018-789-8899, or you can tweet in your questions at BFM Radio. Perhaps a final chance for you to get your questions into AdvanceCon prior to its IPO this coming Monday, July 10th. Now, Yeo, your company, it's been around for 27 years, quite a while now. So in regards to the timing of this IPO, why now?
We are in the market for about 27 years, since 1990. And we are in the expansion mode. So we think this is the right time to continue with our expansion plan. So IPO is a good time, and also to raise our profile at this timing.
Now, but there was a slight delay in your listing recently, right? So what happened there?
I think it's best answered by the investment bank, RHB. So I understand that because the prospectus, they require some further investor assurance and from the authority.
And the authority being the Securities Commission, right?
Yes, and we have finally cleared it and we are now here.
All right, so all good to go for this coming Monday then.
Yes.
All right. But in terms of, say, the broader market sentiments, I note that there have been 8 listings so far this year. As of yesterday's close, most of them have actually seen their market cap dwindle post-listing. Are you confident after Monday?
Yeah, we are very confident, in fact. Because based on the encouraging response from the institutional fund managers and from our oversubscription rate, and also internally with our in-house subcontractors, suppliers, clients, they are all the while support us.
And the retail portion has been oversubscribed by
10.28 times.
Yeah, 10.28 times. So broadly speaking, do you think that's indicative of the kind of demand, the kind of hunger and liquidity among current investors?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, and what were some of the takeaways from your roadshows? Because I think you had only had 1 week.
Right? We have done it within a week because we have only limited share to be shared among all those fund managers.
So what's going to make you stand out from the other 8 IPOs that we've seen so far this year? And in fact, we note there'll be another IPO like 24 hours after yours. So what's going to make you stand out? Why are you so confident?
I think, first of all, because based on our proven track records, we are long enough, 27 years. And because of the clientele, we have a reputable client as our client base, as our tagline, we are the preferred earthworks contractor by the top developers in Malaysia.
And we'll get more into your clientele in just a bit. I believe SP Sertia and EcoWorld are among your top two there. Now, so yes, your core business is in earthworks and civil engineering services. I believe that contributed more than 90% to your revenue in 2016. But you've also ventured into property investment, right? And that's been around since 2013. Why this move away from your core business?
It's not our intention to be in the speculative market like property. It's because of the working relationship with our developers, and we are given some discounts, and also to maintain the relationship with them. So we will choose those good location, good potential. That's why we form a property arm, AdvanceCon Property Sdn. Bhd, to undertake this kind of exercise.
Won't that put pressure on your cash flow, and won't that just add to your risk? Because like you mentioned, this is a speculative game.
Not really, because in the long run, we believe those property that we have bought are a very potential and at a very good location, especially Kang Valley.
But as it stands, you've got, I believe, 15 of those properties have been completed, 6 more to come online. But of those 15 that are completed, you've only been able to rent out 4. So you got to make sure that you hold it, and I believe you're going to hold it for the next 3 to 5 years, right? So given this subdued property market that we find ourselves in now, again, isn't that heightened risk for you?
Also not really, because again, I would say most of the property that we bought are phase one. So they normally will appreciate once they launched phase two and phase three.
But still, they make up a sizable chunk of your net assets, though, over almost 20% of your net assets. Are there plans to reduce that amount?
Yes, we already set a cap, and also we know the concern from the investors that we already set that cap about 20% of the total asset. We are not going to buy property, exceed this kind of limit.
So you are at that cap already, right?
Yes.
19.9%. So no more properties from here on out.
Yeah.
So what are you going to tell your clients then who cannot or perhaps have suppressed cash flow and who want to give you these kind of contra or payments in kind? What do you tell them? Give me cash, that's it.
In fact, we are not contra property with them. In fact, it's our choice to buy the property previously. So now, also, it's based on the proven track record that our services, our quality, and the timeline that we can deliver the product to them.
But again, why accept these properties as opposed to, say, good old cash or more conventional forms of payment? Like, why take on this risk that comes with these property investments? Because, like you said, it is not your intention to enter this space to begin with. So why even go down this path?
Because previously we thought that it's showing a support, because we know the location well, because we are the first one, we are the first contractor venture into site. We are always contractor to create the jungle, and we know the overall layout plan as a township. Then we know there are some assets like highway linked to that development, which can bring value to the land. So that's why we bought it.
All right, and so again, the plan, just to highlight for potential shareholders here, your plan is to hold on to these properties for 3 to 5 years, is that correct?
Yes.
And then really just realize the gains once you dispose these assets, right?
Yeah, okay. At least 10% then we will dispose.
10%?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, all right, got it. We've got a question here coming in from a listener asking, what is your current order book value and how long will it sustain you for, how many years, and also any future projects that AdvanceCon will try and tender?
Currently, our order book is about 570 million, which will keep us busy for the next 2 years. So we are, again, very aggressive to tender, especially the national projects like Pembonia, ECRL, and also MRT.
All right. But still, this comes on the back of a 11% on-year drop for both your revenue and net profit in 2016. So what happened there?
It's mainly because of the timing issue. Because, construction sometimes during the initial stage and the final stage, the progress was slowed down because of the touching out works and the mobilization. So that was mainly because of the timing issue.
All right. And I think moving forward, you have expressed your desire to focus on projects that exceed 50 million ringgit. But do you have anything in the pipeline so far?
Yes, we have tendered quite a few. At any time, our order book is exceeding 1.5 billion.
Right. And so give us a sense as to your earnings outlook then, given that kind of order book.
We believe that, and also it's our intention that we will maintain double-digit growth.
All right, and that's in line with the industry. I think compounded annual growth rate is about 15% for your industry, thereabouts, right?
Yeah, the CAGR.
Now, one of the risks cited by analyst reports is your dependency on certain major clients, albeit they have been recurring clients for you. How do you mitigate those risks, and how do you make sure you're not overly dependent on the same guys?
Yeah, for the past 3 years, our main client, namely SP Certia and EcoWorld, contribute about more than 50% mm-hmm. of our total revenue. But since then, we were gradually expanding our client base. And now, we have a new client like Tropicana and MRCB, KL Kepong, Paramount, are those top developers. And also, we venture into public sector like the Pembonia. The client is CMS and this Penapuri JV, and also WCE, this West Coast Expressway.
So as you see the contributions from SP Certia and EcoWorld decline, is there a target? Because, like you mentioned, about 55% of your revenue came from those two guys back in 2014, although last year it was down to about 42%.
Yes.
Right? Is there a target? Are you happy with 42%?
We don't really set a target,
okay.
But it's in line with our expansion plan. we have more client base.
All right, and we got to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about your attempts to strike a balance between the private and public sector. I'm speaking to Yeo An Tai, Executive Director of AdvanceCon Holdings.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Yeo An Tai, Executive Director of AdvanceCon Holdings. They are set for an IPO this coming Monday. So if you have any questions, send them in to 018-789-8899. Again, WhatsApp it to us. Again, that's 018-789-8899. Or you can tweet it in at BFM Radio. Now, Yeo, we got another question from another listener asking about your average credit term with your clients?
Normally, we are paid according to the condition of contract, ranging from 30 days to 60 days. Once we have completed our works, we will carry out the site measurement and the valuation together with the client and consultant. Then after that, they will issue certificate, open certificate, then will be another 30 to 60 days.
All right, and what's the average turnaround time for each of your projects then?
Turnaround time.
Execution, yeah.
Execution is based on 6 months to 2 years.
All right. Now, let's go back to this agenda that you mentioned about trying to find that balance between the private sector, which you have been heavily dependent on in recent past, to something more recent, trying to gain more exposure to the public sector. What kind of traction are you seeing on that front?
Okay, because like a township development, normally there was award in the phases. So they may award to you phase one award first, then followed by the phase two. So conventionally, the contract sum won't be huge, or maybe ranging from 20 million to about 50, 60 million. So whereas for public sectors, like Pembonia, WCE, they will award to you a stress. So normally it will be more than 50, even 200, 300 million. So you'll strike a balance within these two. It doesn't mean that we were just... keep aside the township development sector, but we'll still continue to serve our client.
All right. And obviously, there appears to be quite a few major catalysts for your future growth here. So it's not just the massive infrastructure spending undertaken by the Malaysian government, but there's also talk about how the One Belt, One Road initiative, that could really spur your earnings growth here. You know, how does that feed, that OBOR initiative, how does that feed into your industry outlook?
You see, the One Belt, One Road, like ECRA, will be funded by this China. And we will participate in this tender. But because due to we have signed some this NDA with the contract, this main contractor or subcontractor, so we shouldn't disclose too much at this juncture.
These darn NDAs. All right. Now, according to your CEO, though, Adato Apum Angkia, one of your biggest challenges is talent attraction and retention. I mean, how will this IPO actually help on that front?
It will raise our corporate profile to attract especially the Gen Y because we are the listed entity. So definitely, they would like to join listed company rather than the Sonia Berhad.
But as it stands, I understand according to recent numbers here, you have about 300 employees and about 42% of them are actually foreign labor. So there is this government initiative to make sure local entities reduce your reliance on cheap foreign labor. What are you doing on that front?
In fact, our priority is still the local labor. Out of our 500 staff, about 2/3 are those experienced, skilled on-site workers. Then out of these, about 122 workers are foreign workers. Then because
so that's over 1/3 of your headcount, then, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, correct.
But then, even with this IPO, you know, you talk about elevating your company's, stature in the marketplace. But really, do you see enough demand within the labor market to actually go into this earthworks and civil engineering space, or especially earthworks?
Okay, earthworks, in fact, is not labor-intensive. We use quite a lot of machinery. So for those, our segment labor intensive one, we will try to outsource our subcontractors.
Ah, okay. And speaking about machinery, because obviously this is a very capex intensive game here, and I believe a quarter of the proceeds from this IPO will go towards capex spending, particularly machinery, right? So how much will that go towards, say, reducing your dependence on human labor?
Okay, out of our proceeds, more than 50% will be used for the capex, like buying the purchase of new construction machinery and construction of our new workshop. So from there, we use bigger size of machinery, like the conventional earthworks contractor, they will use 30 tons of excavator, whereas we will use 40 tons or even up to 70 tons. Each unit of this 70 tons excavator costs about Ringgit Malaysia 1.6 million. So by using this bigger capacity of machinery, or even the lorry also, we use triple size based on the compared with the normal size of lorry. So you will deduce the numbers of the operators and drivers.
But honestly speaking, again, it appears that you still have to be very reliant on cheaper foreign labor, correct? So, I mean, how do you, stem that tide there?
In the long run, we are going to form Advanced Con Academy. We will train all those local to become the skilled operator and drivers.
And these presumably would be higher value, higher skilled jobs?
Yes.
Okay. Given that you have a lot of imported capital, a lot of this machinery that you're going to buy over the next 12 to 24 months will be imported. You know, how are you managing the forex risks? Because the outlook on the ringgit appears to be rather uncertain right now. Four appears to be the new normal, very different from what you've been operating, the conditions you've been operating in over the last 27 years. So how are you managing those forex risks?
The forex risk to us is quite minimum because most of our machines are locally sourced. And because we have sizable machinery and we are going to purchase quite a lot. So, for instance, we are the top customer to Volvo. So we have a better negotiation position when we talk to them in terms of pricing.
Now, also as of your 2016 financial year, your total borrowings came up to over 85 million ringgit. And more than half of that, about 60% of that, is on a floated rate, over 50 million ringgit worth. So given the better expected economic growth here in Malaysia, now on one hand, yeah, you know, that's translated into more infrastructure spending, more work for you. But there's also talk of a possible interest rate hike by Bank Negara, you know, perhaps by year end, or maybe even next year. So given that more than 50 million ringgit in floated borrowings, how are you preparing, if at all, for a possible increase in the OPR?
Okay, we have, from our proceeds, they are about 22% equivalent to 12.5 billion. We are going to use for the repayment of bank borrowing. They will deduce our gearing.
But what's your base case scenario, though, in terms of the benchmark interest rate?
I think I'm not in a position in terms of the interest rate. But also, let's say, because we are keep on tendering for the new job, so we will price a certain percentage of this kind of risk factor into our tender price.
Okay. So broadly speaking, you know, you've got some pretty positive outlook for your earnings and also for the industry as a whole. What would be the key risks for you moving forward?
The key risks will be just highlighted by our CEO, Dato Poon. There will be the talent. Then also with our machineries breakdown.
Oh, machineries breakdown.
Yeah.
All right. So, and I believe you've got about 10-15% from these proceeds allocated for our working capital. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
About 18% is for working capital.
All right. Let's end on this then, because there are plans to diversify your geographical footprint. You have made forays into Sabah and Sarawak of late. What kind of upside are you seeing on that front?
The strategy, in fact, when we moved to Sabah and Sarawak, we will mobilize quite a lot of proceeds. Then we will buy the new machinery. So that will save our cost to mobilize machinery, because part of this transportation cost will be absorbed by the suppliers.
Mm. And it is a very competitive space here in the peninsula. Are you seeing the same level of competition in the earthworks and civil engineering space over there as well?
Yes. In fact, it's all the while very competitive.
So how do you maintain your edge then?
Because we have a proven track record, then we have experienced team consists of the project managers, site managers, and we have a dedicated team of mechanics which will maintain our machinery at the tip-top condition.
All right, so certainly looking forward to your IPO on Monday. Thank you so much for taking the time to visit us here at BFM on the Morning Run. I've been speaking to Yeo An Tai, Executive Director of Advanced Con Holdings. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.